I invite you to stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. It is Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 38 through 42. While Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. By contrast, Mary was preoccupied with getting everything ready for their meal. So Martha came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me." And the Lord answered, "Oh, Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part, and it won't be taken from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, have you ever had one of those weeks where just everything you did seemed to bring up one memory or another? That's been my week. It didn't matter where I was going or what I was doing. There was always something that seemed to trigger one memory after another. And oddly enough, there was no rhyme or reason to it. They were silly memories, actually, things that didn't make any sense. They were pleasant enough, and they were even humorous. One day I was in one of our bedrooms straightening up and dusting it. It's a bedroom that's filled with my grandparents' furniture. The bed, the dresser, the table, even the pictures on the wall, it all came from their house. As I was dusting, I looked up, and one of those pictures is of my grandma when she was a way little girl. You know, the locks hanging down and the cute little frilly dress. And I stood there looking at it, and suddenly my mind was off and running. I would do almost anything just to be able to spend one more afternoon in hers and Grandpa's little house next to the railroad tracks. And when I say little, it was little. With 15 cousins and a menagerie of aunts and uncles, we would have to eat in shifts. And by the way, eating the first shift, it wasn't as great as you thought it was, because if you ate the first shift, that meant you had to do the dishes. And guess who was always in the first shift? And being one of the younger cousins, there were no other cousins to follow to take over the job. You know, it got loud in that house. I am absolutely positive that it didn't follow OSHA rules on sound. We would get so loud sometimes that even though it may have been the coldest day of the year, some adult would finally look at us and go, "Will all you kids please go outside and blow the stink off?" And for the most part, being 15 cousins with multiple ages, interests, and opinions, we got along fairly well. But every now and then, we could forget Grandma's one "don't you dare forget" rules. No fighting. It generally started when we were outside blowing the stink off, and one sibling would look at another sibling and, well, the fight was on. They would say or do something that they knew would get their sibling going. And then before you knew it, we had 13 other cousins choosing sides, and the pushing and the shoving and the yelling would begin until we heard Grandpa clear his throat. And then he would say, "You kids wouldn't be fighting out here, would you?" You know, Grandpa ended more good fights without ever raising his voice than any person I have ever known. When Grandpa said, "You wouldn't be fighting," he didn't expect an answer. Well, I'd like to say that we outgrew all those silly arguments. But you see, I can't because Grandma's second "don't you dare forget" rule, "don't lie." And if I said that we forgot all about those silly fights, it's been decades since my cousins and I squared off at each other. I can't remember the last time that happened. But my sister, that's a different story. She can take me from the height of happy to boiling mad just by giving me one look or saying something that others would think was pretty innocent. And to be honest, I can do the same to her. It's part of being siblings. We know each other too well. And just in case you have kids or grandkids at home who seem to enjoy these less than friendly conversations, remember, they're not going to outgrow them. They're never going to stop them. These silly arguments, they've been going on, since the time of Cain and Abel. As a matter of fact, it is hard to think of one set of siblings in the Bible that got along. They were always fighting about something. David and his brothers? You want to talk about resentment? David was the youngest. He wasn't supposed to be chosen above them. But at least all they did was argue. They didn't hold the candle to Joseph and his brothers. They took sibling rivalry to a whole new level. And what about Jacob and Esau? Their arguing and backstabbing finally caused the whole family to be destroyed. And just in case you think that sisters are historically kinder to each other, think again. Leah and Rachel? Remember, they were married to Jacob. Jacob wanted to marry Rachel because she was the pretty one. Leah was not. But their father was a bigger trickster than he was, so he ended up marrying Leah first. And the fight was on. Oh, they didn't carry it to the same extreme as Cain and Abel, but they sure pushed the card really, really hard. And then we have Mary and Martha, the sisters in today's story. Most of us we probably know, or some of us may even have, that irresponsible sister who always promises to help but never follows through. You know, the one who, when it's time to get ready for company, always manages to disappear or be busy otherwise. And the sister who will say, I'll help until the company shows up, and then she disappears into the living room and leaves you to do all the dishes and all of the cooking and all of the cleaning. You have that sister? Or you know that sister by any chance? Maybe she belongs to another family, maybe she belongs to yours, but you know that sister. And you know what's really maddening? Is no one ever seems to call that sister on their behavior. She always gets away with it. And when you're the one doing the work, wouldn't it be nice if just once somebody recognized the fact that you were doing it? That you're the one who always takes responsibility for getting things done? But it never happens. In the sermon she preached on this passage, the Reverend Dr. Anna Carter Florence said that what happens in today's message is what oftentimes happens in families. We get upset about something that someone is doing or they're not doing, and we revert to what she calls kids in the car behavior. You remember the behavior, right? She says that if you close your eyes and just for a moment pretend you can almost see the 4 and 6 year old version of Mary and Martha sitting in the back seat of the car after being cooped up for 3 hours, with one of them yelling, "Mom, she's looking at me, make her stop." Today's passage, it's just a grown-up version of the same conversation. In place of saying, "Mom, she's looking at me," Martha goes whining to Jesus and says, "Don't you care? My sister's left me with all the work. Make her help me." Now, let's be honest. Mary didn't want Jesus to answer her directly. When she said, "Don't you care?" she didn't care if he said, "Yes, I care." Because what she really wanted was for Jesus to turn to Mary and go, "You are so lazy. Why don't you get up and help your sister?" Now, it's true that at this point in the story, Martha does come off somewhat like a shrew. But the truth is, at heart, she was a very good person. And in her own frenzied way, she was trying hard to serve Jesus that day. But as the Reverend Florence says, I quote, "It's hard to serve Jesus and fight with your sister at the same time. It's hard to stay focused on what he's done when you're so mad about what your sister hasn't done." Have you ever been there? Have you ever tried so hard to do what was right? To act like a disciple of Jesus Christ, but no one cared. They didn't care enough to notice. They didn't care enough to help. In those moments when you are so tired, it's hard not to feel hurt, maybe even a little angry, because you're trying to do what's right. You're trying to make things better while everyone else is just sitting around doing nothing. It's hard. mean, it's really hard not to cry out, Lord, don't you care? Everyone's left me to do the work. But in those moments of anger and frustration, if we listen closely, the Lord answers us, and he tells us exactly what we need to hear. Martha, Martha, you are so worried and distracted by many things. Only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. So what is the better part? What is the one thing that is necessary to keep us from being distracted and worried? Jealous or envious? Maybe even a little angry and resentful? If Mary has chosen the better part, what is it? Why is it that Jesus doesn't tell us what it is? Mary has chosen the better part. That's it. That's the answer. If Mary had a choice, doesn't that mean that she had options? That night, the option that she chose was to sit at Jesus' feet. Now, that may sound like she was dumping Martha in the kitchen, but what we need to remember is that her choice put her at odds with all kinds of cultural standards and expectations, including the fact that women were forbidden to sit at the feet of a male teacher. That was the position of learning. And a woman was not allowed to be there, and a woman was sure not allowed to be in a room full of men by herself. But Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. She chose to defy the expectations. She chose to do what she felt she was being called to do, regardless of the consequences she might have to face. Mary chose. Martha, on the other hand, she chose too. But from her complaints, we have to believe that it wasn't really what she wanted to do. What she really wanted was maybe to be in there with her sister. But she chose to do what she thought was expected of her. And as a result, she was worried and distracted, and maybe just a little resentful that her sister had chosen differently. You know, we read this story, and how many times have we been asked, are you a Mary or a Martha? We're not being asked to choose between the two of them. The decision that we need to make is to decide how we're being called to serve. And when we choose to follow that call, we also have to remember that sometimes the call changes, and we have to be willing to change too. There are moments that, like Mary, we need to stop, we need to listen, we need to learn. But there are other moments when we need to get up and we need to serve. It's not a matter of being Mary or Martha. The challenge is to make the right choice. The choice that we are being called to make at that particular moment. So why don't I take a load off? Sit down. And spend some quality time with Jesus. He'll help clear your mind and settle your soul. And when that happens, you too will be able to choose the better way. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, amen. Today we have no place to put the offering plates, so let's just stand and sing the doxology. It seems as though there are more needs in this world that we can possibly meet. There are more choices to make than we really want to make. And so on this day, help us to choose one thing, to be your disciples, to give in your name, to help as you helped us. Take our gifts, O Lord, and may they be used in your ministry in this world. In Christ's name, amen.